This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/wondery.
Dearest gentle listener, you are cordially invited to Go Touch Grass's first ever tea party brunch event, taking place Saturday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village for an afternoon of sipping tea, spilling guts, and generally lamenting the state of the world. So, grab your besties, wear your florals, and snag your tickets to tea. Ticketing details available at patreon.com/gotouchgrass. Ta-ta!
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Elise Morales. Millie is in Canada trying to find a husband or wife. I don't think she's actually picky here. And this is Go Touch Grass, the podcast where we log in so you can log off. On this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can go do literally anything else with your time. Since it's just me hosting today, I'm going to keep the intro pretty short. But just remember, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Check out our Patreon, and please, for the love of God, get tickets to our tea party. That is Saturday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. at Prince Tea House in the East Village. Ticketing details are available on Patreon. And oh, thank you to everyone who came out to our Y'all Fest show on Friday. It was an amazing time, and we should have the footage from that show up on Patreon sometime soon. So that's just another reason for you guys to subscribe. And now, joining me in studio as a special guest host for this week. She is one of my dearest friends. Millie's fond of her as well, I would say. Millie approved.
you don't want to speak for her.
Yeah, I can't, like, she's not here, so I'm not going to I'm not going to use my voice to speak for her.
I respect
you know?
That.
But she's a writer. She's a comedian. She's a director. You've read her work in The Guardian, in New York Magazine, and in Jezebel. Please welcome into your ears Katie Ruth Ashcraft.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. One of my favorite pods.
I know. I'm very excited. You listen, again, not to speak for Millie,
please,
but when we realized that we were going to need a guest host for this episode, we both independently came to the conclusion that it should be you.
Okay. So I think that gives me some points for Millie liking me.
Yeah. I think, well, she at least respects your work.
That's literally all you can ask for in this town.
I mean, actually, yes. Yeah. Sometimes I would be like, you don't have to like me, but can you please respect
literally,
my work?
Like, sometimes there's people who like me and I'm like, you could respect my work more.
Yeah.
Do sometimes, like, I have a lot of people who like me. I need more people to respect my work.
Well, hopefully that's what this podcast will do.
Absolutely.
Hopefully this episode can get us
there. Yeah, I'm petitioning for
Grass Nation.
I love that.
Please respect Katie, Grass Nation.
I need all the respect I so duly deserve.
Okay, speaking of your work that is so deserving of respect, so you've written a lot about internet culture, various discourses, not just for Jezebel, but I'm talking more about the work that you've written in The Guardian lately. You talked about the Nope baby, which is like a Nepo baby who eschews their Nepo connections.
Totally. The idea, I mean, it's like very simple, fun little name, but like Nepo babies who, the reason you kind of know them is because of, them exactly eschewing their famous parents. So like Vivian Wilson, Elon Musk's daughter, Rob Schneider's daughter, Elle.
Right.
I believe her last name is.
And then you also talked about Claudia Conway.
Claudia Conway,
who she was like having such a moment. And I feel like now.
I know. I feel like she is a little older. Her, you know, brain is a little more fully formed. She's not doing quite teenager like acting out, but like she really made a name for herself by being like a rebellious teenager, but a rebellious teenager against her, like, fascistic mom. Yeah. So, like, definitely garnered the support of the people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just, like, these kids who, like, they are kind of flipping what being a Nepo baby is. Like, they are using their parents' name recognition, even though I would say notably two of the examples I gave don't use their parents' last name.
Yeah.
But they're basically, like, I have an inside look at this famous person and they suck.
Yeah.
Being a Nepo baby isn't all it's cracked up to be. Like, yeah, you might get a last name. You might get some money in your bank account. But, like, you're not necessarily getting, like, the love from your parents.
Yeah. And I think in the case of Elon Musk's daughter, that's almost certainly the case.
Totally. I mean, just, like, bravest woman to walk the earth.
Oh, my God. I know. She's, like, really good online, too.
Yeah. Even if her dad was not as evil as he is, he's obviously, like, brain rotted from being so online to the point where he had to buy Twitter, but she's just so much better at being online than he is. Out of all the ways she's, like, quote unquote betrayed him, the almost most satisfying is just being, like, a cooler person online, like, than he is.
Like, she's actually a good poster, whereas he had to truly buy Twitter so that he could ensure that everyone sees his tweets, which is
the saddest story ever told. Tweet ever tweeted.
truly. The other piece that I really wanted to ask you about is that you wrote a piece this year called From the Substance to Mormon Wives, the Year Pop Culture's Stretched, Stuffed Faces Became Too Strange to Ignore. It's talking about plastic surgery trends and kind of, I feel like things are shifting back in a way, away from the truly just, like, Instagram face. And I was wondering what motivated you to write the piece? What were you seeing? What was kind of the central thesis of the piece?
Totally. Well, I'm so excited to talk about it because the piece was just sort of like a real, I mean, it was a good piece, but it was sort of like a real, like, slop bucket of a lot of my thoughts of like this current moment we're in and the way women, but, like, really specifically, like, cis white women, if, like, that was kind of who I was really focusing on, are looking these days. And I agree. I do think there's been this sort of pullback. Literally, there are is like fillers getting dissolved is trending. I think there's been this real kind of public backlash to the strangeness of veneers. Like,
yes,
I think we're seeing plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery, not always surgery, but, like, cosmetic procedures being taken to these, like, really extreme limits. So we're getting, like, terms like Mar-a-Lago face, like, with what's happening with, like, Kimberly Guilfoyle and Laura Loomer and these people who really look like, and it's tough because, like, you're so conditioned, especially as, like, a millennial woman, to, like, not talk badly about people's appearances.
Yeah.
And Laura Loomer looks really skinny.
Yeah, we discussed Laura Loomer on the Patreon, and we said flat out, like, if you are a right-wing, racist nut job who works for Donald Trump, we are and we will say that you look fucking nuts.
Totally.
Like,
no,
absolutely. Your face looks fucked up. You look like Jigsaw.
Totally. Like, truly, truly scary. And then people, like, who, unfortunately, like, I wish it was just people whose, like, politics I didn't agree with. I could be like, you look crazy.
Yeah.
But then there's people who, like, maybe their change in their appearance doesn't even necessarily look bad, but it's, like, just noticeably different. And it feels like this weird thing we can't talk about where it's like, well, this person's whole face looks sort of different. I don't know. Like, I wrote this piece and I was really nervous for it to go out, honestly. And people were very kind about it. And if they were mean about it, they weren't mean to my face. So thank you. It's something that I'm still really working out my feelings on. Because, like, obviously there's just so much societal pressure to look young, to look beautiful. Women who are younger, who are thin, who look a certain way and are more, like, stereotypically beautiful, make more money at work. Like, there are very, like, legitimate reasons to want to look a certain way. And then on the flip side, I think there is something profoundly disorienting about, I write about this, like, I binge watched Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. And I came out of that, like,
it's like you slurped down one of their dirty sodas and, like, took it totally straight to the brain. Eyes crossed.
Exactly. You're like, what is the state of feminism? You're like, everyone should get a vaginoplasty or whatever, or labiaplasty. You come into that. And so it's like, okay, I was watching that show this summer. I'm a big fan of the Golden Bachelor.
Yes, you are, like, my number one Golden Bachelor stan.
There's something I love about people who are a little bit older finding love. Yeah. I think love is for all ages, except too young. Not always.
You heard
plus.
It here yeah. first. Once you're 18, fall in love.
Fall in love.
But before that, focus on your studies.
Yeah, exactly.
Stay focused
Stay
in school.
Crushes are bad. I'm going to be like a very yeah. strict. Like.
Yeah. You can't have a crush before the age of 18. That's what Katie Ruth says.
Can't at all.
Next article.
Yes, exactly.
No crushes for kids.
I dig a real hard right.
But
one thing that's really disorienting about The Golden Bachelor, or the point I guess I'm trying to make, is like these women. Oh, and I was also watching the Dallas Cheerleaders doc. And women of like kind of like 20s, 30s, up until they're like 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're all kind of looking the same.
Yeah.
And there's like this like signifier, like these signifiers of like the cascading long hair and extension.
Yeah.
The teeth that all look the same. The lashes that look way too heavy. Like,
yeah.
All these looks, and it's like, okay, you are like performing femininity. But then what I was saying is like profoundly disorienting is like, what is the role of aging in this society?
Yeah.
Where on one side it becomes, okay, again, we're not supposed to talk about people's appearances. And like, there are a lot of like societal cultural benefits to maybe looking a certain way.
Yeah.
I think there's also this unspoken thing of like, at a time when womanhood is being like policed by the state,
yeah,
adhering to one way femininity should look,
yeah,
are there repercussions to that? Again, like I'm a cis woman, like I understand that there's reasons and important reasons that people who fall outside of like cisdom,
yeah,
like
yeah.
get plastic surgery. So like I'm really like, I don't know, I'm trying to just like figure out this conversation. No. But again, this is mostly or like fully I'm talking about cis women who are getting yeah. these like things.
Yeah, right. Because yeah. it's like when it's gender affirming care, it's a completely different situation. But also some people are like, well, it's all gender affirming care for everyone, actually. Like, is a guy flying to Turkey and getting his hairline redone gender affirming care? Like, that is a different conversation. But I think where I've struggled in the same place yeah. is kind of on an individual level. Like me talking to
totally.
You, whatever. I'm like, do whatever you want, girl.
Totally.
Fill your cheeks. Fill your face. Get your pussy tightened up. Do whatever.
Totally.
Go to Turkey. Get a big, yeah. beautiful, luscious,
yeah,
like,
hair.
Like, I don't, whatever. Do whatever you want. But then when you take a step back and you think about it in terms of, like, a trend that we're seeing across society, like,
yeah,
that's where you start to go, but what does this actually mean for everybody
yes.
to have the same face? And I think that this type of plastic surgery, cheeks filled, lips filled, again, like the cascading
hair extensions
that you see on Mormon
heavy
One,
look.
It came out of the Instagram era of when the Kardashians were in their
totally.
Kind of peak of influencing society. And now I do feel like people have grown tired of seeing the same face over and over again. I remember it used to be a thing. People would be like, Kendall Jenner, Emily Ratajkowski, all these girls look exactly
totally
the same. And now I do think slowly but surely we're adding some more, especially with the veneers, changes to teeth. Like people are really getting
yeah.
over the veneers. And I think seeing Margaret Qualley to talk about The Substance.
Yeah.
Who's got kind of iconic teeth. And she's representing the peak of youthful feminine beauty in that movie.
Totally. Amy Lee Wood
exactly.
or Cynthia Erivo. Just these people who have interesting smiles that make them look who like they look like. And I think also part of our collective backlash, a theory I have, is with the rise of AI images that has a lot of backlash
yeah.
to it. I think people are really hungry for people that just look
real.
Like, people, yeah, like look authentic. And like,
yes.
there's a lot of discourse I've seen online about like, for a lot of reasons, like rom-coms hit really hard in the 90s,
yeah.
right? But part of it is like, yeah, Billy Crystal looks like a real dude you'd run into. Like,
yeah.
no offense to Glenn Powell. I would love to run into Glenn Powell,
yeah.
but like,
go to Dallas, you'll find him.
Yeah, well,
you'll see a Glenn Powell if you go to Dallas. It might
I'm
not
trying
be
to
the
avoid
Glenn
going to Dallas for many reasons. No, but like, yeah, I do think that like there's something just like erotic about real people and like
yeah.
real faces and real bodies and real hair. And like, I know you guys have talked about like morning and nighttime routines on
yes.
this show. There was this great piece that I wish I will follow up on like where it was from, but it was just asking like, does anyone who do those insane nighttime routines fuck? You're taping your mouth and you're putting this gel on your face
yeah.
and you're like binding your hands behind your back so you can like sleep. Like, is anyone fucking?
Yeah.
And like, that's sometimes how I feel when it's like you have these like veneers and your tits are hard as rocks and you can't make a face that's not this. Are you fucking? Yeah. Are you having good fucks too?
It's this thing that we've talked about in terms of the morning and night routines, in terms of Brian Johnson, that guy who's trying to live forever.
Oh.
It's like dedicating so much of your life, energy, time, whatever, to looking perfect, looking young, etc., extending your life, extending your youth, that you're not enjoying anything. You're not, you know, do I feel better when I go to bed and I do all my little things and
of course.
Wrap my hair and I do my little heated eye mask for my chronic incurable dry eye? It's been a minute since I've mentioned it.
Yeah.
All that stuff. Yeah, but do I still also have times where I come home late and I fall asleep and I didn't take all my mascara off? And yeah, I look like kind of ass in the morning, but it's because I went out and lived my fucking life and then crashed.
And that's like this like balance that I was like trying to kind of figure out in this piece where it's like, I don't want to demonize people who are like, yeah, Botox makes me feel more confident going out in the world, or like, you know, getting hair extensions, or like, you know, fixing my teeth and my smile has like made me feel better. Like, I think there is a lot, like, I really try to not demonize people like that. Cause like, I get it. Like, I color my hair. I like wear makeup. You know, it's like, I have a lot of friends who participate in that stuff. It's like, that's not really what I'm trying to go for.
I have Botox in my forehead right now.
And it looks great.
I actually, I have to touch it up a little bit.
No, but so it's like, it was just like, felt like this fine line. So I don't know. I just think it's just like, how do we have this conversation again? Like when it's happening on this like mass cultural scale.
Yeah.
That, well, women like aren't aging, especially like just in public consumptive media.
Yeah. I will say, just to, you know, pull back to degender it for a second, I think Republican men are making incredible strides in the world of having fucking weird filler.
Yes.
So, you know, hats off to them for kind of
gender bending.
Yeah, gender bending there. Hats off to Matt Gaetz for doing whatever it is he's done.
Hats off. Let's see that head of hair you have also.
Yeah, exactly. Hats off to Turkey.
Yes. No, totally. So it's like, I wrote the piece just trying to kind of like figure out like how we're talking about it these days, because I do think there's been a bit of a backlash. We're seeing even some like cosmetic procedural backlash, like people trying to get things reversed.
Yeah.
I think in the like fascistic leaning slash fully fascist maybe government that we're like at right now, what good does everyone trying to look the same do? Like, I do think there are like actually big political implications to everyone looking the same.
The exact same. Yeah. And for that, the same to be this very narrowly defined youthful woman, cis woman version of everybody. Where it's like your face is full of hyaluronic acid and your lips are so big and your eyes are so wide and like
you've smoothed yourself over to the point that you're like, I can fit in anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And also everyone looks great.
and everyone looks great.
Yeah.
But on the subject of kind of in that world of, I feel like this is a show where we actually did get some, you know, obviously everyone is hot if they're on TV, but we have kind of a variety of different looking people. Mm-hmm. We are recording after the White Lotus finale. We're going to talk about White Lotus for like a couple minutes right now. We're going to keep it spoiler free, but if you personally don't want to hear anything about White Lotus at all.
If you don't know that, like, it's set in Thailand,
exactly. I believe all of that. Like, if you don't want any information about this season of White Lotus, skip ahead. Number one, I feel like White Lotus does have, again, everyone's been talking about Amy Lou
Woods.
Amy Lou
Woods.
I mix her up because last season it was Haley Lou Richardson played Portia. This is Amy Lou Wood.
Plays Chelsea,
who has the amazing teeth. But also Walton Goggins having like a receding hairline and a bald patch in the back.
Wait, also side note, because like Walton Goggins has some crazy veneers. Yeah. So I looked that up being like, it's funny, especially with like Amy Lou's and then his teeth. But he got veneers early on because all of his teeth were knocked out from being hit in the mouth with a baseball. Fun fact.
Okay,
Fun
so
fact.
That's like a reason to have veneers.
I know. I was like, wow.
Yeah. So it's like, that's why we can't judge people on an individual level.
Absolutely,
because it's like,
not.
Why do you have those crazy veneers? Well, all my teeth fell out because of a baseball.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And that's why we can't judge.
And I would never dream.
Why do you have all that filler? Because I was hit in the face with a baseball.
And it needs a soft cushion to land on next time.
and it popped all my hair out.
Exactly. And he was so shocked. Now his hairline is receding.
All of his hair popped out in the back. And
totally.
No, but it's like kind of what makes the show great. Like, again, obviously everyone's hot, but they kind of just look like real people. Like, Greg looks old.
Yeah.
Like, Lori, all those gals, like, the trio of blondes who are all good friends and school friends, you know, they're all the same age. You see Kate, who is played by Leslie Bibb, and like she is clearly very Botoxed up. And so you see someone at that age, what they look like. And then you see Lori, played by Carrie Coon, who like is just like a softer, I think, less procedured face.
I can't say myself what Carrie Coon or any of the three women have or have not had done, but it is interesting that I feel like the level of visible work on each of the characters is part of the character too.
Fully.
Because they even have that scene in the first episode where they're kind of like, what have you got done?
No, because that is like a real maintenance. And then she's like, she sandblasted her face when they had their like one-on-one.
Yeah. The reason I bring up White Lotus is because you have been covering it for Jezebel, and you also on your personal TikTok have expressed a pet peeve about how people talk about White Lotus online. So before we get into today's discourse, I wanted to give you the floor to talk about way White Lotus discourse plays out online.
Totally. Well, and I believe it was for season two, I also did write a piece on that called The Way White Lotus Discourse on TikTok is Breaking My Brain. I wrote for Jezebel.
Yes.
People have reverse engineered watching the show on TikTok to becoming freaking Harriet the Spy, Nancy Drew. They're just like, well, if you notice, there were three monkeys, and actually monkeys are native to Thailand. And you're like, they're trying to like uncover some stuff. And it's like, you want to just hold their hand and be like, hey. So it's just called tone.
Yeah.
Or it's called subtext.
Yeah.
And not everything is like a, what's that when you're like locked in a room and you escape room?
Yeah. What's that when you're locked in a room? Being kidnapped.
No, it's like they're kind of treating these shows like an escape the room, and it makes it less fun, I find. Yeah. I understand the desire to be like, oh, like who died? Who does the killing?
There is this element of like trying to search for Easter eggs or dig so deep that I'm like, you guys need to relax.
Yeah, it is like this Easter egg obsession, which I will say, fueled by Taylor Swift.
Yes, that is true.
And like, I don't know where she's hiding right now, but she needs to speak for her crimes.
Well, I also think it's part of like having a take culture, which is like everyone after the end of the episode, every episode, there are probably like one or two pretty obvious new clues that have been
100%
presented, or one or two things where it's like, oh, the brothers did what? Like, let's talk about that. But then I think there's also this drive to have something new to say.
Absolutely.
And I've been seeing a lot of this because there's a new Hunger Games novel out.
The prequel, right?
Yeah, there's a new prequel. I listened to the audiobook. Really, really, really good. Sunrise on the Reaping. But now I've been also taking in a lot of TikToks about it, because there is a lot of really interesting stuff where you learn different connections. And there are actually things that you learn from this book that if you go back and read the originals, you're like, oh, this is why Haymitch said this.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
But it is getting into that territory of kind of the main things that have been said. People have run out of things to say. And so now we're getting into another thing that I hate. And then we do have to get to the discourse is I haven't seen anybody talking about this. And it's something that either everyone is talking about, or that is so obvious it's not something people would need to be talking about. Like in the case of Sunrise on the Reaping, I saw this one TikTok that was like, so The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe factors heavily into the book. Mm-hmm. And she's like, nobody's talking about the fact that this poem is real. And I was like, okay, so that's actually just so obvious, because it's one of the most famous poems in like American history and maybe like modern poetry in general. But I think the reason nobody's talking about that is because it's
we get it.
Like, and did you know no one's talking about this?
Yeah.
This series is The Hunger Games.
Yeah. I'm like,
okay. So let's move on now to something people are talking about.
Okay.
Today's discourse. Okay. This is a discourse that comes straight from the Williamsburg Reddit. r/Williamsburg has been churning over this topic. You are actually the person who put me onto this.
Oh, yeah.
Because you texted me about it. Mm-hmm. Today, we are talking about the drama surrounding a Reddit post made about bathhouse in Williamsburg, the spa. Disclaimer, please don't sue us, bathhouse.
It's big alleged
energy on all of this.
We're just recapping some stuff being discussed on.
Right. This is an internet podcast. We recap stuff people are talking about online. As you are aware, based on your multiple court filings that we'll get into, you know that people are talking about this online. Please do not sue us. I went to bathhouse in Williamsburg for my birthday last year. I had a great time. I know Millie frequents bathhouse. Please do not be mad at us. So with that, first, I'll start with the background for anyone listening who doesn't know. So bathhouse is a spa, sauna. It has kind of like a clubby, cool vibe. There's a restaurant attached. Uh-huh. They have two locations here in New York. One is in Williamsburg. One is in Flatiron. The main crux of what we're about to talk about is the Williamsburg location. Again, I went there for my birthday last year. I was very relaxed.
Yeah. I remember you coming out. You said, I had a great time.
I had a great time.
I said, happy birthday.
And that's kind of what the vibe was.
Yeah,
so it opened in 2019, kind of like weathered the pandemic, managed to stay afloat.
All that salt.
Exactly. It's a spa, so it's got different pools of different heats.
Salinities.
Different salt-related stuff that you can put on you. You can get in rooms that are hot in a dry way, hot in a wet way. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a spa.
Yeah, it's a spa.
It's a spa.
Yeah. It's sort of temperature-based.
Yeah, I would say it's not one of those big, like, Russian baths type things. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a little bit more of, like, a cool, young aesthetic to it.
I have personally never been. The vibe I got a little WeWork spa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So I think that is a good way to describe it.
Cool.
And I'll hit you with this detail. Did you know that bathhouse heats its pools using the byproduct of Bitcoin mining that it does on the premises? So it mines Katie.
Sorry.
Katie, let me finish.
Sorry, hold on. I blacked out.
Katie has passed out. Katie's foaming at the mouth.
I swallowed all the bathhouse water.
So when I first read that, I said, I have no idea what that means.
No.
My understanding is that they mine Bitcoin on the premises.
Okay.
And then the heat generated from mining that Bitcoin.
Wait, I need to pause really quick. Williamsburg used to be like a cool place where music was made and like hipsters hung out.
I know.
Continue.
I
know. Now it's Bitcoin fracking so you can like network in a hot pool.
I mean, exactly that. Like, people always talk about how gentrified Williamsburg is. Like, that's been a discourse since we first moved to New York 10 years ago. But it's 12. A new level.
I know.
12.
Yeah. Almost 13, actually.
I know. Actually, I'm 13 in June. Okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
Okay. Me too.
I'm young. I'm youthful.
Me and Elise met the first month we moved to New York.
I know. We did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't aged a day.
No. And that's not filler.
No,
that's
it's not
just
filler.
Genetics.
And joie de vivre.
It's just our joyful and youthful dispositions. Yes. But what I was going to say is I do think it's a different level of gentrification when you have a spa that's heated by Bitcoin mining.
Yeah.
Because when I first read that, I was like, I thought that they were just using somehow tapping into heat generally that's being made off of Bitcoin mining. But it's mining that they're doing.
Okay. I mean, Williamsburg is an industrial waterfront. So actually, it's maybe historical. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like how they have that one old sugar factory.
Oh, the Domino Sugar Factory.
The
Domino, yeah.
The new Domino Sugar Factory.
That's now also like a WeWork. Everything's
is
a WeWork.
Mining Bitcoin to heat your networking spa. Ugh. I really don't understand the science of it, but I did look into it. This is a thing.
Wow.
That can be done.
Okay.
They say that it means that they're energy neutral as a result of doing this.
Interesting.
I'm kind of like, but if you didn't mine the Bitcoin on the premises,
you'd
in the
still
first
be,
place,
yeah.
But then maybe they would have to use regular heat to heat the pools, so then they wouldn't be energy neutral.
Is there energy neutrality like at the forefront of their marketing, or is this something that's maybe a little behind the scenes?
And I also, mean, they definitely, especially upon opening, I think one of the things that they touted was that they're heated by Bitcoin.
Okay,
heat.
Cool. Bitcoin's just one of those things where, like, you say Bitcoin and my brain turns into, like, cartoon, like, Teletubby land, yeah, where it's like, that's the way people make money these. And I'm just, yeah, like, what?
I, like, it's the blockchain. And I'm, yeah, like, yeah, no. I mean, for again, sure, we've had to talk about it so many times on this podcast.
Totally.
To me, it's like how a plane works. I understand,
no,
they fly.
Yeah,
I get it. And I know that there are scientific reasons why a plane flies and how that happens. I do not understand those reasons. When I read the reasons, my brain does not
computer not only do I not understand, but it's like not really my business.
Yeah, exactly. It's not my business how a plane flies in the sky. Yeah. It's not my business what Bitcoin is.
No.
But I have gone to a spa heated by, okay, the heat generated from.
And you didn't like grow an extra toe.
No, I seem fine.
Okay, cool.
It's almost a year since I did that.
Amazing.
And I'm still kicking. Thank,
yeah,
you. So, well, that's the filler.
That's,
that's my enormous veneers. Yeah. But yeah, I would say like WeWork spa,
totally,
kind of like a sexy tech aesthetic spa is the vibe of bathhouse. And, mm-hmm, I think this Bitcoin thing kind of contributes,
okay,
to that.
For sure. For sure.
I would say, I think it speaks to the ethos behind the spa that,
yes,
it's heated by Bitcoin in a way that I genuinely don't understand.
No, I love it.
The reason that we are talking about bathhouse today,
yeah,
is because of a Reddit post. So 17 days ago,
okay,
in our Williamsburg, no underscore yogurt close 7214.
Just to correct you, no yogurt closet.
I'm so sorry. It's no underscore yogurt closet 7214.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? We don't know what it means.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I guess she was a little bit of a yogurt closet as a result of this.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's disgusting to say. We're going to get into the post. 17 days ago, no yogurt closet posted UTI from bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
In it, they say, I went to bathhouse, parentheses, Williamsburg, for my birthday. Been there, done that. And the renovations are so nice, but I noticed the hot tub and body temp tub were looking kind of dirty and gross. I thought it would be fine, but then I ended up with a UTI. My friend went to the Flatiron location a couple days before me and also ended up with a UTI. I don't know if they need like better chlorine or what, but I've literally never gotten a UTI from a pool and I grew up as a competitive swimmer, so it must be pretty bad. Now you are on swim team too.
Oh yeah.
So you can, you kind of know where you know.
Also, I've never gotten a UTI from a pool. Not to brag. State championship.
Yeah. State championship? No UTI.
No UTI. I myself did not get to actually compete in the state championship, but I held the counting numbers for the long distance swimmers. Continue.
Wow. So this post goes up in our Williamsburg and it pops off pretty quickly and it leads to a bunch of comments from people who are being like, I also got a UTI from bathhouse. So here's another comment from the post. It had 200 comments. All of these posts, by the way, have been deleted, which we will get into.
Oh, fascinating. Also, wait, just 200 comments, like Reddit users who are going to a spa in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
200 comments for a Reddit post is a lot.
Yeah.
That's high number.
And then to be like, those are people who feel like charged enough to engage on this topic.
Yeah.
So it's like, we have an issue on our hands.
Exactly. So here's
alleged
one comment. And again, all deleted, you can see. I went to Williamsburg bathhouse last Sunday and got a terrible UTI within 48 hours. For context, I'm 30 years old and I've never had a UTI in my life. I didn't even know what it was until my girlfriend heard me describe the symptoms and told me, I'm sure that it came from bathhouse. The water just felt ick to me, especially that lukewarm pool. Maybe they aren't using enough chlorine or something. IDK, gross. A lot of people calling into question how much chlorine they're using.
Also, just so far, it's been called the body temp pool and the lukewarm pool.
Yeah, neither.
They need to up their branding.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think I went in that pool.
Yeah.
And again, didn't get a UTI. So
right.
I'll just say that. Again, this is all alleged. These are Reddit comments from random people. We don't know anything about them.
Yes.
We do not know who they are. I've never seen their pussies. I don't know when they're sick.
We're not medical professionals.
I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a spa professional.
No.
I don't work for the Department of Health.
No.
Bathhouse, please do not use your Bitcoin money to sue this podcast.
We'll have to work in the Bitcoin mines.
I know, like we're going to have to start like mining Bitcoin.
Bathhouse heated by Katie Ruth and Elise. our labor.
I know. I'm just like, I can't have Millie go away for 1 week and then we're being sued by a business that she actually does like frequent as a result of my work. I can't be doing that. Bathhouse. This is just, again, one of 200 comments. It starts to move away from people just being like, I got a UTI at Bathhouse. I got a UTI at Bathhouse, to people being like, Bathhouse used to be a lot better, but now it's too crowded. The vibes are off at Bathhouse. People claim that in their push to become more popular, all of this different stuff, since they opened the second location in Williamsburg, that now they want the atmosphere to be like too much of a party vibe, and it's leading to sexually inappropriate behavior from guests. So people are like, I've seen people hooking up in the hot tubs and stuff.
Amateur. Because it's like, people obviously hook up in spas, you know, like, but not obviously is the thing.
Yeah, that's
like,
the thing.
You got to be discreet.
The point is for you to go into the steam room and kind of just jerk off who's ever in.
Yeah, you can't be like,
in the full view hot tub, just hooking up. No. That's not how a bathhouse hookup is supposed to work.
Yeah.
And I think that what we're dealing with, again, is kind of toxic heterosexuality here.
Yeah.
Because the hooking up at a bathhouse is a tried and true gay male culture thing that has been perfected.
Yeah.
And I think that straight people could benefit from maybe seeing what's being done there.
Yeah.
And if you want to fuck at a spa, kind of implementing it in that. We can't be in the public areas where everyone can see you doing that.
No.
You know, the hot tub is visible in kind of the main floor of the space.
Absolutely. So. And there are going to be people there who aren't going to hook up, who are just, again, maybe going for their birthday.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm kind of here just to celebrate myself and turn 34 and God bless you. This starts to pop off enough that the UTI from bathhouse allegations jump from Reddit to TikTok. And that's where things start really heating up. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's perfect.
So people start basically recapping this post on TikTok. There are a bunch of different things being like, people are talking about how nobody's talking about this.
Yeah.
Bathhouse is giving people UTI.
And like a rare time where you're like, wait, actually more people should be talking about this.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, actually, I was going to go again for my birthday. Should I go?
Yeah.
I am going. Bathhouse, don't sue.
Yeah.
Don't sue us. So this gets even worse when former employees of Bathhouse start not only jumping into the comments, but they also jump onto TikTok to say, yeah, it really is nasty in there. And also the owners are dick.
Wait, you're telling me that the Bitcoin mining
owners,
Bathhouse owners aren't awesome people?
Oh. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, allegedly, allegedly.
Allegedly.
According to a TikTok we are about to watch from Jesse the Bestetician, which I'm like, well, Jesse, that's a great
handle.
First of all, Jesse the Bestetician, hats off to you on your handle. I'm so sorry about your experience working at Bathhouse.
Okay.
So we're just going to watch some of this TikTok. Okay.
Hello, former employee here. I am a licensed esthetician and my position at Bathhouse was a body scrubber. So I'm going to break this down into two parts. The first part is going to be how dirty the facilities actually are. And the second part is going to be about how they treat their employees, especially ones that are. Let's get into it. For starters, I'm going to talk about the Williamsburg location and then I'm going to go into the Flatiron location. So the Williamsburg location, obviously located in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, there are three different types of mold living in the main bathing section of Bathhouse. This mold can be found in the two hammam scrub rooms, the tropical sauna. It can be found in the drain that is right next to the hot tub, which is also right next to the public drinking water fountain. Myself, other former employees, and other current employees have always complained about the stench that comes from the walls due to the mold. Now, if you are planning to get a scrub there, just know you are going to be breathing in mold.
So, yeah. I mean, that's obviously not a great review. She goes on to say a bunch of different stuff about the cleanliness. And then in the part two, she does talk about how while she was working there, she had a bunch of different issues with the management, but she felt like she experienced racial discrimination and also like pregnancy discrimination while working there. It's kind of a longer story, yeah. But the gist of it is that she asked for some pregnancy accommodations that weren't met. Her husband was also working there. He asked for some medical accommodations that weren't met. And then she also started to notice that she and some other Black female employees were getting written up more for like their attitude. Like they were having, yeah. They were getting a lot more commentary about like, you have a bad attitude, kind of coded language. So this is from an article in the New York Post because, surprise, surprise, we jumped from Reddit to TikTok. Now mainstream media outlets are picking this up. So there's an article in New York Magazine, and then there's a New York Post article, and then a bunch of different websites to start like aggregating what's in those two articles.
Cool.
But this is from the New York Post, and I can't tell if the former employee that they are talking about here, they don't name them. I can't tell if it's Jesse the Best Statistician. There are some clues that it potentially is Jesse the Best Statistician.
Okay.
But I don't know. Totally. Could be someone else.
Totally.
They talked to multiple employees. The former employee said she eventually resigned after she was allegedly slowly taken off the schedule when she transferred to the Flatiron location. That's why I think it's Jesse the Best Statistician, because there was a lot of stuff in her retelling about how she was at Williamsburg, but she wanted to transfer to Flatiron, and then she was not getting scheduled as much. So I think...
Got it. Context
list. For me, contextually, having watched all the videos, I'm like, I think we're talking about Jesse.
Okay.
She said, I actually liked my job. I liked what I did. I just wanted to feel, after working there for a year and some change, to feel like I actually mattered, just to learn that I didn't. She said of the phone call she made to quit her gig. I told him, the management representative, that I felt like it was a lot of racial discrimination. I did describe what happened to other workers who came to me, who so happened to also be Black, and it happened to them as well. The manager said, and I literally quote, I don't think it's racial discrimination because the owner is married to a dark-skinned woman. So that would have been nipped in the bud. And I was silent because he literally took my experience and threw it out the window and said, well, you know, he has a Black wife. So that's just what was reported to the New York Post.
Yeah.
Claims of racial discrimination are obviously their own huge problem.
Totally.
But the things that are cooking online, I can't stop, are more about these health related claims, cleanliness, etc. Both the New York Mag and New York Post coverage of this drama say that they had been sent videos of worm-like insects crawling on the floor. Don't love that.
No.
Don't love that.
Hate it, actually.
Yeah, I'm like, that's actually disgusting. But literally both articles were like, we have independently confirmed videos of worm-like. One said worms and one said worm-like creatures. But either way,
hate that.
I would not love it. So now... With all of this, obviously, the Bath Bros are pissed.
Yeah, of course.
They're extremely pissed. So the New York Post said that they're suing one of the former employees who complained on TikTok for $100,000. Again, I think they're talking about Jesse the Best Statistician, but they did not.
She doesn't deserve
say,
this.
I know. I'm like, it is at this point that Travis Talmadge and Jason Goodman, they are the owners of Bath House, start to try to push back against all of this stuff. So they blanket deny that there are any cleanliness issues at Bath House. This is from the New York Post. Talmadge and Goodman say that the pools at Bath House are controlled by a computer that continuously monitors the chlorine and pH levels in the water in real time and uses UV filters to kill bacteria, making the environment highly unlikely to cause a urinary tract infection. Of the worms, Bath House says that the video...
They were meant... They're influencers who were invited.
They said that the video was of a scheduled quarterly clean of the pipes and that the worms are just part of the grime that gets cleaned out of the pipes. So basically, they're like, yeah, they were... There are worms, but they're in the pipes and we, like, regularly clean out the pipes. And this was video of that cleaning. So they're trying to say, like...
Yeah, scheduled worm maintenance.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like, this is actually us getting rid of the worms. This is how we keep the worms at bay.
Okay. All right.
Is what they say. Okay. According to them, their facilities receive a deep cleaning from midnight to 8 a.m. and visits from an exterminator 8 times a month. These were all verified by both the New York Mag and New York Post articles. The New York Mag article said that since 2022, the Williamsburg spa has received 17 health complaints, which isn't, I feel like that's not that crazy for a spa facility. If anyone works in the industry, let me know.
I'm very naive in that.
A bathhouse spokesperson shared documents with New York Mag showing that they'd passed a health inspection with no violations on New Year's Eve. And then they also provided the New York Post with proof of an inspection passed last Tuesday. So they are showing up with the receipts to be like, we're clean. The state of New York says we are clean.
Cool.
Talmadge and Goodman also adamantly deny the allegations of racial discrimination, stating that 60% of their 350 staff members are racial minorities and that they promote an incredibly diverse and very celebratory hiring practice. Well, I don't know what
it's just like, yeah, people aren't saying that there aren't 60% minorities. You're just saying those 60% aren't treated well.
Yeah, like that's not really. And I also don't know how you promote a celebratory hiring practice, but okay. But they are suing someone. Damn. I think Jesse the Best Petition based on these claims. And they said in the court papers that these allegations are demonstrably false.
Ugh.
So all of this suing obviously has only made the discourse worse.
And also, nothing ruins the good vibes like a lawsuit.
No, no. I mean, that's okay. So at this point, like what, let's say you own the Bitcoin Spa.
Of course.
What are you doing as the Bitcoin Spa owner to deal with this?
Well, hold on. It's going to take a second for me to
get
into
the headspace.
Get into the robe of being the Bitcoin Spa owner. If I wanted to prove to people that my spa was clean and that the worms were being taken care of in a systemic way, I'd probably hire, honestly, some like clean girl beauty TikTok influencers.
Smart.
Yeah.
Smart, smart, smart. I have gone back and forth about if I think that I would have just not said shit about this. Like, I think it was getting pretty big. I think once it gets to New York Mag and New York Post, it is tough. Like, obviously, you have to respond. I think you should respond if journalists are calling you about it. But I think maybe prior to that,
I think
we
what's
ignore.
Difficult, though, is like, I have to imagine the Bitcoin powered spa is really a breeding grounds, for
petri dish,
petri dish for like influencer type people who are online.
And that is definitely true that they try to,
they're courting
that
people.
Kind of energy. So I get that they're probably really tapped into the online discourse. And I think that feeling like you're at the center of anything online probably feels like a massive.
Totally. If your mentions are filled up with something, if like
people are commenting on your Instagram, which people, there are claims of comment deletion being happening.
Claims. Yeah.
Allegedly, comments are being deleted. It's a tough spot to be in as a business owner, but I kind of think that maybe in an official capacity, I would just let this pass and provide any necessary information to like New York Mag.
I wouldn't sue the black woman who says I haven't treated her well.
No.
If you're trying to disprove that.
Yeah, I think that that would be bad.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, again, they're being accused of deleting Instagram comments. But this is not stopping anybody. Gabby Windy talked shit about them on her podcast. So please, sue her first. I know it's like she's like a darling of like she's so
she like couldn't be more famous right now. Actually, the funniest person who could talk about.
I know she's so huge online. Yeah. Her, if for anyone who doesn't know, she's from The Bachelor, but I feel like she has now risen to a new prominence because of The Traitors.
Yes.
She's very funny. Mm-hmm. She is online, whatever. She just did Las Culturistas. She's doing great.
Yeah.
She, I guess, talked shit about Bathhouse on her podcast. But then 2 days ago, I see, because I've been following this now on Reddit, because my dear friend Katie Ruth texted me and she said, I know that you go to Bathhouse, just so you know, this UTI thing is
going on.
Yeah, because
I saw the TikTok.
And then I then go to the original post because I'm like, well, this could actually be good for us to talk about on the podcast. So I start saving things. So now
she's working woman.
So now I'm getting served by our Williamsburg content. And I see that the UTI claimant, No Yogurt Closet, has posted a post called Bathhouse Threats. Here's where things get complicated, right? So what I'm showing you is a screenshot that I took of Google Images previews because this post has been removed.
Oh,
this post cannot be found. I saw it and saved it, but I should have screenshotted it. Like a fool, I didn't screenshot it.
It's okay.
And the post was just of this letter. And unfortunately, the quality is not such that I could like zoom in and reread the letter. So I'm going to have to retcon it from the comments and also my own beautiful brain and memory from reading it in real time when it was posted. But I did want you to see, Katie, that like this did exist.
Yeah.
And it was posted on Reddit, but unfortunately, because it was an image, the website that I used to look at deleted Reddit posts did not archive the image of the letter. It's okay.
The technology's not perfect.
The technology is not perfect. But basically, in this post, labeled bathhouse threats,
okay,
she talks about how, I guess when this originally went down, she DM'd bathhouse to be like, hey, I got a UTI at your facility.
Yeah.
Not. And then I guess also posted to the Reddit simultaneously, not realizing that it was going to like create this big situation. So this is, again, it's hard to see because I had to pull it from Google previews. But these are the OP's DMs with bathhouse, where you can see in the response, thanks for the info. Glad to hear you and your friend are feeling better. We did see the Reddit post and it caused quite a stir at bathhouse. We had some cancellations and concerned clients that mentioned the post. Mm-hmm. If you are open to it, would you consider taking it down? So this was then followed up by, I guess they took it to text and there were like text messages where they exchanged and said they wanted to take it down.
Uh-huh.
This was the only screenshot that I could find that still existed. But I remember from reading it that I guess she interacts with this employee for a little while longer. And the employee is like, just so you know, like the manager can get kind of yelly.
That is dark.
Which is not great.
Kind of yelly.
The photo that she had posted called bathhouse threats was a photo of a legal notice that she received from what claims to be bathhouse's legal team. But I will say that the tone of the letter is so insane that it might be allegedly someone who works there maybe wrote this and just put their lawyer's name on it. A lot of people in the comments were like, I've never seen a legal person communicate like this.
And the letter was to take down the Reddit post.
Yeah, the letter was to the OP. I guess they used the DM with her to find her real name and it was sent to her work, she said in the comments. So they sent it to her place of work, I guess. But the letter itself, it starts out with what you would think, that they're like, you have damaged us by saying that you got a UTI on Reddit and like you can't trace your UTI libel to us. Yeah, that kind of stuff. But then, and this is what I wish I had the exact text of the original post to read. It says something along the lines of like, we have also looked at your past Reddit post and your social media posts. And based on the sexual activities that you've talked about, that's more likely to give you a UTI than our bathhouse.
Oh, my God.
So they like.
So the lawyer's slut shaming.
Yeah, they include this weird slut shaming thing that's like, hey, and also we looked at your Reddit and it seems like you're a big skank and you probably got the UTI from that.
Oh, my God. So it's like, yeah, we're a clean bathhouse and we're a Puritan freaks.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, what vibe are you going for?
Exactly. Because it's like you also want a sexy club vibe that's encouraging people to hook up in your hot tub. Yeah. But also, UTI from being a little skank. Yeah. And we can tell from your Reddit comment history. So
also like digital surveillance creep ass bathhouse.
I know. Like you can tell behind the scenes, this is really
like, is this the behavior we do expect of a Bitcoin mining powered bathhouse owner? Allegedly, like those maybe do feel like people who would turn on a woman angrily.
Yes. So this post, bathhouse threats, gets 308 comments before it is deleted. And as I said, that post is gone now. The original UTI at bathhouse post is gone now.
Wow.
So I definitely think no yogurt closet was sufficiently.
And if we had eyes on her, like, is she safe?
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
We find a body in the body tent pool.
No idea, God. But all the posts from No Yogurt Closet regarding this are gone. And when I went to No Yogurt Closet's page, you can find some of their comments still.
Yeah.
But all of their original posts and anything that had like screenshots or whatever, gone, removed. You can only find little tiny previews of it on Google.
Did they remove their stuff about their sexual history too?
You know, I didn't go. I'm actually not a complete fucking freak. So I didn't that far back in this person's Reddit history to find out what these.
For sure. I respect that.
Sexy comments.
Sexy
were.
Comments.
All of this is gone now. And now we can see some of the comments on it. And obviously, this did not look good. So here's a comment from Origami Pigeons. I can think of about 10,000 ways they could have gone about this in good faith. None of them include going through your Reddit and bringing up your sexual behaviors. Bathhouse is correct. Your UTI can't be pinned on them, but they lost control of the situation the second you made your post. Trying to regain it by playing nasty with you was the stupidest path to choose. And a reply to that is, the letter has no legal basis and isn't a cease and desist letter either. It reads more like an attempt to bully, intimidate, and defame OP. Yes, she can't exactly pinpoint the source of her UTI, but the sexual activity allegations are just as baseless and more defamatory than her Google review. The letter serves no purpose other than to open the door to legal action from OP. Here are more comments. This is the most unprofessional legal letter I've seen. I mean, they can't prove or disprove how OP got the UTI. It is also just so funny to have 300 people being like, well, we don't know where you got your UTI, but the letter is rude.
Hell.
They're right that you could have gotten the UTI anyway, but they shouldn't have said that stuff about your sexual activity.
No, truly. Well, when you showed the DM, and I was like, yeah, Bathhouse has a right to be like, hey, if you're open to it, would you maybe take down the post? We're losing business.
Yeah.
And then they just sort of have to kind of like pray that she takes it down. But
yeah,
like, you kind of don't have any more discourse past them.
I know. I feel like it's a kill them with kindness more vibe where it's
totally
like, hey, we're really sorry that you had this experience and that you got sick after coming to our spa. We're not sure if we were involved, but here's a day pass or here's a
massage if you don't want to get in the water.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If you don't want to get back in the body temp pool, totally understand. We can go to the haram scrub room. Yeah,
yes.
There is mold allegedly. Walk past the worms, get your scrub.
We would love to have you back.
Yeah, exactly. Just something. I don't know. I think you have to play super
like
nuts.
They can ask and then like it's just sort of balls in her court.
Yeah.
And then like, I mean, it just feel that vibe is like 100% dude who starts double texting you.
Yes.
And is just being like, hey, I had fun on our date. And like you take 20 minutes to respond. They're like, okay, slut.
Yeah. I actually looked through your Reddit comments and you're a slut.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
Totally. I was at work.
Yeah, sorry. I was underground. I didn't have service because I was in the tunnel. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Because again, this was the original post was 2 weeks ago, which it's kind of the max length for a discourse that isn't constantly getting fueled by extra stuff. So like, if you don't file a bunch of legal paperwork to sue the TikToker who's talking about you and also send this insane letter, then things go away. But now, again, this was as of 2 days ago. Where things stand right now is that now the R. Williamsburg page has started to do like meta commentary about Bathhouse. So if we go to the next post. This was posted today, 53 minutes prior to when I came here. Polish Giraffe posted, Bathhouse to blame in giving Justin Timberlake green light to expose Janet Jackson's breast in 2004.
Incredible.
And then if you go to the next page, Bathhouse is part in the 1989 Tiananmen Square massacre. Like, people are posting now.
Am I the only one talking about this? Yes.
Like, that was from Sufficient Wish. And that was from yesterday. So now it's like moved on to becoming almost a meme level where people are just joking about involving Bathhouse in anything.
And I mean, the quote chapel, good luck, babe.
Yeah. Like, that's the worst place that it can get where now it's funny for people to just make crazy fake allegations against you. That is really not good. Bathhouse, I will say, is currently running a promotion for free day passes, which I'm sure is unrelated to all of this. But I also saw that the day passes sold out. So it seems like, you know.
I mean, see, that's the thing. It's like New York is a big city.
Yeah.
And a lot of people come into Williamsburg. They like could have just handled this quietly. And maybe there's some people they lost some like online Redditors who aren't going to go any longer. But like they could have really pivoted. To just like tap into one of New York's other billion markets.
Again, it's just there are so many people. And I think that when you are in the midst of a conversation online, you feel truly that everyone is talking about it.
Yes.
But what I have learned doing this podcast is that these conversations are actually really, really siloed. A lot of people have no idea what you're talking about. I'll meet people who are like, wait, so J.K. Rowling is bad now? Like, you don't even 100%. Realize the degree to which conversations you think truly everyone has heard or have some awareness of. Some people have heard not one
not
thing
one
about
thing.
It. And so I do feel like again, by suing people, being antagonistic, fueling this flame, you're ending up in a situation where it's giving more people reasons to post, which gives more people an avenue for it to end up in their FYP. Yes. When this probably would have been done 2 weeks ago after the initial flare up. Anyway, all right. So I think that brings us to the end of the bathhouse situation. Again, we don't know how No Yogurt Closet got their UTI. We don't know how anyone got their UTI except for UTIs that we've experienced.
And sometimes those are mysteries
too.
Yeah,
and sometimes there's a mystery there. So all allegedly bathhouse. Yeah. Please do not sue us. No. Please be
Please don't go through my Reddit history and call me a slut.
Yeah, please don't do any of that stuff. It is time now for us to move to our final segment, Grasshole of the Week. Grasshole of the Week is our segment where we declare the person, people, businesses. It was almost bathhouse, and then I was like, this is actually a longer situation that we need to get deeper into.
Totally.
That need to log off the most. We are on a roll with celebrity grassholes. Last week's grasshole, we issued a loving Go Touch Grass to Justin Bieber.
For sure.
Today's grasshole is Ariana DeBose. So
yeah, I was wondering if it would be.
So, okay. Where to begin? For anyone interested, we do have a whole history of the Rachel Zegler discourse up on our Patreon right now, where we go deep into why people online get so mad about Rachel Zegler.
I also have to say there's like no, there's very few voices like over you that I would trust to discuss
this. Thank you. Like I said last week, I have to stand 10 toes down for my half Latina theater kid, Bob sister.
Of course.
I have to speak for her because she was being maligned in the media. But for anyone who doesn't know, there is a lot of discourse online right now about the live action Snow White movie, which has flopped badly at the box office. When we were doing our Patreon episode, it was the weekend that it had come out, and it actually made less money opening weekend than Joker 2 Filet Adieu.
Wow.
So that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's pretty bad. And there was kind of this initial push to pin this failure on Miss Rachel Zegler, the movie star, for various reasons. But today, we are going to zero in on an aspect of the drama that is not touched on in this Patreon, which is the perceived beef between Rachel Zegler and Madame Angela Bassett did the thing herself, Ariana DeBose. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of these two women?
I am.
You are aware of these women. For anyone who is not, Rachel Zegler is a 23-year-old actress and singer who had her breakout role starring as Maria in Steven Spielberg's West Side Story. She's currently in this maligned Snow White movie. Mm-hmm. She is a she's the subject of discourse.
Yeah.
She doesn't
But
usually,
she's online.
She is online.
Yes.
And famously so. We'll get into some of her posting.
Yes.
Her Reddit posts.
Slut. Just kidding.
Just kidding. We would never say that about Rachel Zegler. Seems like she's kind of a relationship girl, actually.
Yeah. Love that.
But you can be both. You can be a slut and a relationship girl. Anyway, so she stars as Snow White. Much controversy around that. She's also set to star as Evita on the West End.
Yes.
Put a pin in that. And Ariana DeBose is a 34-year-old actress, singer, and dancer who got her start on Broadway. She was an ensemble member in Hamilton. I think she, like, represents via dance the bullet that kills Hamilton. I think that's her.
Okay. Never saw the show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You weren't ham for ham?
I wasn't.
You know I was ham for ham.
Absolutely. I support that.
I saw the whole thing. And I unbeknownst to me, because she wasn't on the, like, in
so
the
someone
public
was
consciousness
the
yet.
Bullet?
Yeah, you know, it's represented in an artistic way. And basically, like, as the bullet is flying, someone kind of, like, dances. And I think it's Ariana DeBose who does.
Amazing.
That.
Okay.
She's part of the dance ensemble of Hamilton. And I think if you watch the Disney Plus pro shot filmed, she's...
Okay.
She's there as well.
I'll take your word.
But her big break is when she starred as Anita in the Steven Spielberg West Side Story, for which she won an Oscar. She's probably most famous for Angela Bassett did the thing, though.
Yes.
Which is the meme. And I will insert it right here for all of us to remember.
Angela Bassett. did the thing. Viola Davis, my woman king. Blanche Kate, you're a genius. Jamie Lee, you are all of us.
So what is the drama? Rumors that Rachel and Ariana don't get along date back to West Side Story, when Ariana was being largely recognized for her performance, but Rachel kind of was not.
Yeah.
You know, Ariana's nominated for Oscars, etc. Rachel's not really getting that kind of recognition. I don't know if the beef is necessarily based on the recognition part portion, but there was famously drama around the fact that Rachel was not invited to the Oscars, even though West Side Story was up for Best Picture. And, you know, Ariana DeBose is nominated. I think Steven Spielberg is nominated for Best Director. Like, it's nominated for all these awards.
But Rachel.
But Rachel is not invited, even though she is the star. So it's kind of, and it's kind of complicated because Millie pointed this out on our Patreon, but it might have been that they just didn't want to invite Ansel Elgort, her co-star, who by the time the movie came out had been embroiled in some sexual misconduct allegations and was kind of canceled at that point. So it could be that they were like, we're just only inviting the nominated people.
Totally.
It's kind of unclear what the reasoning was for not inviting Rachel, etc. But Rachel Zegler, who is online, revealed in kind of this way that was like both shady and not. That she wasn't invited to the Oscars. This caused a dust up online, caused her to then get invited to the Oscars. I think it was a post where she was like, yeah, I guess I won't be there because I didn't get an invitation. So it's, you know, she knew.
She's a smart girl.
When she posted, people were going to be like, what?
Yeah.
And kind of,
it worked.
It worked. Yeah. She got to go.
Absolutely.
But people noticed that after that, after the Oscars, at some point, Rachel and Ariana, who had been previously following each other both on Instagram and Twitter, they unfollow.
Okay.
So people, and people notice unfollows.
Oh, for
sure. There are people who like spend their lives
checking
these unfollows. I think there are like automated.
There has to be
bots
like,
that will do it at this point as well.
Lord hopes there is, because if not.
I know, that's a job you can give to a robot. A robot can actually do that job, and I hope a robot does that job instead of
Get the robot that counts the bacteria at bathhouse to see if Ariana and Rachel have unfollowed
each other.
And
figuring out when people follow, like celebrities follow and unfollow each other.
Yeah. Give it another job.
Then people note that Rachel's post about Ariana winning the Oscar didn't seem particularly warm.
Okay.
Which,
sure.
You know, people are funny about this stuff. Yeah. Basically, like, all Rachel did was share an image of her winning to Story that said, speaking of historic wins,
musical theater girlies are sort of the reigning queens of like performative excitement.
Yeah.
And people know when the performance isn't living up to par.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. That's why I go back and forth with it, because I'm like, okay, on the one hand, I don't know if she posted it to Story.
Yeah.
She shouted out her co-stars win, whatever. But there is an element of like, if two musical theater girlies are truly best friends on set, you're going to get like a full five stories.
You're getting a grid post.
Yeah. You're getting a grid post of you guys hanging out in costume, trailers, getting your hair done, all these behind the scene moments.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, your performance blew me away.
I do think that Rachel Zegler is a very adept poster in that she knows how to post in a way that hints at what's going on with her, but also her like hands are clean.
A good politician.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Someone who's not a good poster, and the reason why she's grasshole, is Ariana DeBose.
Yes.
So unfollowing is not what makes Ariana a grasshole. Unfollowing does not a grasshole make.
No.
We're allowed to follow or unfollow anyone as they will.
Mm-hmm.
What makes Ariana grasshole is something that she posted to Grid recently related to all of the drama that Rachel Zegler is going through with Snow White. So, as we've said, Rachel has been embroiled in controversy since the release of the live-action Snow White movie, which has flopped badly. And as a result, Disney is very clearly trying to, at least was very clearly trying to pin the flop on Rachel Zegler, though I think a lot of that coverage was badly received. And now maybe they're pulling back on it a little bit. So it comes out in what is basically an anti-Zegler hit piece that I think Disney paid for in Variety.
I mean, if it's in a trade like that.
Like it came from somewhere and that somewhere is the mouse.
Yeah.
So in this piece, it tries to argue that the controversy around Rachel Zegler and basically two posts that she has made that reveal her politics are the reason why Snow White is failing. Not the fact that it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, because I did go see it and it was extremely bad. Not the fact that Gal Gadot's performance is unwatchably horrible. Not the fact that there were seven different script writers on it, and that by the time you watch the final movie, you can tell that it's kind of seven different movies.
Yeah.
Not the fact that they took out the dwarfs, then added them back in reshoots later to create this kind of horrifying CGI dwarf situation that doesn't make sense. Okay. None of that is the reason.
No.
The reason
it's two social media posts.
Yeah. The reason, according to Disney, that the movie failed is because when Rachel Zegler first tweeted out the trailer for Snow White, the teaser trailer, she replied to that tweet with another tweet that said, "And always remember Free Palestine."
Great. In my opinion, yeah.
In Disney's opinion, no.
No.
So this leads to a story that came out in this Variety piece that Disney apparently flips out over this Free Palestine tweet.
Okay.
Because, you know, Disney obviously puts a lock on any like political content. Like it's not technically Disney-fied to put any type of political statement connected to the Snow White movie.
Yeah.
They freak out about this. And apparently the producer of the movie, Mark Platt, father of Ben Platt, very, very powerful producer in film and Broadway, flew to New York to try to personally convince Rachel Zegler to take this post down. Rachel Zegler did not take the post down.
Love that.
And between that and the fact that after Trump won, she said, "Fuck Donald Trump," according to Variety and the Disney party line, that is why Snow White failed. Again, not because of the Uncanny Valley CGI, not because of it failing on every single level.
Or the fact that like their rabid fan base seemed to be weird, white, old, racist.
Yeah, not the fact that it's ugly.
Yeah.
It's ugly, this movie. Yeah. Cheap looking and ugly movie. None of that.
None of that.
Because Rachel Zegler said Free Palestine and fuck Donald Trump. Okay. This then leads to Mark Platt's other son, who's a Nope baby in a different way, I would say, in that he's trying to be a Nepo baby, but the society has said Nope to him.
Nope.
Not Ben Platt.
Okay.
Jonah Platt, the older Platt brother, said in a now deleted Instagram comment, basically, so someone commented on his page saying, "Your dad flew to NYC to reprimand a young actress. Any words on this? Because that's creepy as hell and uncalled for. People have the right to free speech. No, shame on your father." And then Jonah Platt responded, "You really want to do this? Yeah, my dad, the producer of an enormous piece of Disney IP with hundreds of millions of dollars on the line, had to leave his family to fly across the country to reprimand his 20-year-old employee for dragging her personal politics in the middle of promoting the movie for which she signed a multi-million dollar contract to get paid and do publicity for. This is called adult responsibility and accountability, and her actions clearly hurt the film's box office. Free speech does not mean you're allowed to say whatever you want in your private employment without repercussions. Tens of thousands of people worked on that film, and she hijacked the conversation for her own immature desires at the risk of all the colleagues and crew and blue-collar workers who depend on that movie to be successful. Narcissism is not something to be coddled or encouraged." So he posted that.
Okay.
Deleted it, obviously.
Of course, yeah. But was that in the Variety article?
That was after it came out in the Variety article that his dad had done this. Someone went to his personal page, commented. He then comments that. That then starts to get added to the story.
Got it.
He deletes that comment. So you're probably wondering, what the hell does any of this have to do with Ariana DeBose? Why is Ariana DeBose grasshole? Why isn't Jonah Platt grasshole? He is, actually, but for a different week, and we have moved on from that discussion already. And we covered it on the Patreon, as I've said 100 times. So, last week, Ariana DeBose shares this very weird image to her grid. Katie, why don't you describe what we're looking at? What does this post say and what aesthetically what's going on here?
Wait, first I want to clarify, grid or story?
Grid.
Okay.
I know. This was something that I thought about as well. It went to grid.
Okay. Is it a reel? It doesn't matter.
I think it was an image and it's set to Beyonce Cozy.
Okay. We are looking at sort of a deeply decontextualized bouquet of roses.
Mm-hmm.
I feel confident saying this is an AI image of roses.
It's giving AI generated.
It's giving AI generated a bouquet of roses. And then in sort of a glowing neon font over it, we have the quote, "Narcissism is not something to be coddled or encouraged."
So that's directly from Jonah Platt's comment about Rachel Zegler. So people see this and they're like, okay, obviously Ariana DeBose is coming for Rachel Zegler with this weird AI flower quote thing.
Yes.
Immediately people clock this because this is also like,
It's not a quote.
No, it's not. It is.
But it's like Jonah Platt's quote.
Yeah, it's a very direct quote. It's not something where it's like large minds talk about ideas, small minds talk about people. It's not like an aphorism.
But it is formatted like Pinterest inspirational quote.
Yeah, it's formatted like,
you know, dash anonymous wisdom.
Yeah, we're the daughters of the witches. You couldn't burn energy.
Totally.
But it's this quote that is very directly about Rachel Zegler.
Incredible.
So obviously, immediately reignites rumors that they hate each other, which is fueled even more when people make the connection that Ariana DeBose was originally in talks to play Evita on the West End.
Oh.
But it fell through due to scheduling, and now the role has gone to Rachel Zegler.
Oh.
So people are like, I wonder what the true behind the scenes is on that.
And also, there's really just a huge disparity between Rachel Zegler's posting abilities, which are good.
Yeah.
And Ariana DeBose.
I know. And I am wondering if it is a millennial versus Gen Z thing. Personally, I identify as a good poster. I would not post an AI-generated image of flowers with a quote that I can't attribute to anything that seems to be pretty specific. But I do wonder if there is a
generation gap. I also, when you mentioned their ages earlier, I did put a pin in that where I was like, there is unfortunately nothing sadder than a 34-year-old, you said, beefing with a 23-year-old.
I know.
And as a 34-year-old,
yes.
I have one more week of being able to say that. I've wanted sometimes to call out some 23-year-olds. I don't have a lot of them in my life, but you can't. Because you will never win.
You will never win, and you certainly aren't going to win with AI-generated Pinterest art to grid.
No.
That is just not the way to defeat a Gen Z opponent.
No, you're really like bringing a mustache finger to a knife fight sort of a thing.
So true and so sad.
Yeah.
So then she takes this down and posts. I post quotes all the time. This is now in story, on story.
And does she post quotes all the time?
We'll get into that. Because actually, The Cut did look into this.
Oh, I love that.
The article that I read to round this up, which is where I realized, because I thought this all went down on story, but it was in The Cut article that I realized, no, this was posted to Grid, which is
huge.
Wild. She says, I post quotes all the time and thought this one was meaningful. Will fully cop to the fact that I did not do any research on where this quote came from, nor did I know of the connection until it was pointed out to me. I have no intention of inserting myself into a news cycle. This is not the first time I've posted about dealing with narcissism, and it probably won't be the last. But next time, I'll be sure to clarify its origins first. So
obsessed.
So The Cut looked into the claim that she posts quotes all the time, and they said that to grid, at least, that is not
happening.
Really true. She posted on International Women's Day and right before the election, so it's not like totally unheard of for her to post.
But those were sort of like,
those
some
are
context.
Like events.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And again, this is such a specific quote. Narcissism is not something to be coddled or encouraged.
Because you're not going to, what is it, brainy quote and getting this.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, I don't know where it came from.
Here's what we'll have to parse out.
Okay.
Do we believe her?
No. I think she was having a very successful career when most of us were online. I don't think she realizes how savvy people are on the internet.
Yeah.
And I think was like, oh, it's sort of a quote. And the thing was deleted, so people can't search where it's from. And she's like, this is going to be me being kind of shady. And it's like, again, she was being Hamilton's bullet while all of us were in the Bitcoin mines on Twitter. Yeah. And it's like, no, there's a Stan account in Brazil who knows every single thing that's ever been written about Rachel Ziegler.
Yeah. And also, this has been screenshotted and quoted a bunch of times. It's very specific. People are immediately going to clock this at being about someone who you are perceived to have beef with.
Yeah. So like the radar's already on.
Yeah. Like online sleuths figured out that you guys unfollowed each other, which is something that actually takes a lot more research than just one-to-one matching this quote.
What I'll also say, because there was part of her response quote of just being like, this isn't the first time I've posted about narcissists or something like that. And I'm just like, when someone is that, when you have like an ongoing issue with narcissism, I'm like, pull up the mirror.
Yeah, that's my thing, is I am kind of like, why are you posting about narcissism so much? How many narcissists are you meeting? I mean, I guess you're in Hollywood, but also there is something where it's like being obsessed with the like buzzword diagnosis of the day. Like, this is not the first time I've posted about narcissism, and I will continue to post about narcissism. I'm like, maybe you could
it's
not.
Like there's elephants that need to be saved.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like you could just post about your upcoming projects in your life. Yeah. I don't think that you need to even be kind of the anti-narcissism hub of information.
Task force.
Here's okay. To give her some potential pathway to this not being intentional.
Okay.
Maybe there is a world where this made it to Ariana DeBose's feed because she engages in anti-Rachel's, like she'll look at anti-Rachel Zegler posts and she didn't realize, like it came up on her Discover page and she didn't realize that it was being fed to her in that way. But I'm also like, who even made this? Who made this picture of roses with narcissism is not something to be coddled or encouraged over it. In general. Even as I'm saying it, I'm like, I don't know how this got to Ariana DeBose.
Well, I was wondering, do you think she made the image?
That's a really good question. Is if she didn't make the image, then who did?
Then someone made it. But
and why?
My immediate thing is she made the image.
I know. I'm really struggling with if it made its way to her and she was like, haha, or if she made it. If she made it and then said, I didn't know where this came from, she's truly nuts. Like, I could see it, maybe.
Yeah.
Someone else who's a Rachel Zegler hater made it and it made it to her Discover page. And then
Sent it to her and then it was in her, she saved, you know.
Yeah. And then maybe she didn't realize the degree to which it would be traced back.
Totally.
Because it does seem like if you're going to go out of your way to make this and post this and then just immediately remove it and be like, I had no idea it had to do with Rachel Zegler. That seems
Of like stand 2 feet on the ground. And
yeah,
just be like,
I posted this about Rachel Zegler.
Yeah. My gut is like, she's the mastermind behind it.
So my feeling is if she knew where the post was coming from and she posted, that's a go touch grass.
Yeah.
And if she didn't know where the post is coming from and posted it, this is a weird thing to post to
grid.
So for the crime of being weird on Maine, regardless of your motivations, we have to say, Ariana DeBose, go touch grass.
Go touch grass.
And that's the end of our episode.
Wow.
Katie, it was so great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me. This was a joy. I learned a lot and I loved a lot.
You lived a lot. You learned a lot.
I laughed a lot.
You laughed a lot. Why don't you tell everyone, all of Grass Nation, who've come to both like you and respect your work, I'm sure,
God,
where they can find you, follow you, get everything online.
So I am on Instagram and I think also TikTok. I mean, I know I'm on both, but as Katie, K-A-D-Y, Rabbits, R-A-B-B-I-T-S. Yeah, you can follow the stuff that I'm doing. I post the articles that I write and it's on TikTok. I'll sometimes like go into a little bit more depth of my thoughts of what didn't make the final edit.
Guys, follow Katie there. Follow this podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. Follow me at Pandalise on Instagram and Elise Navidad on TikTok. Follow Millie at some variety of Millie Tamara's on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. Mm-hmm. Twitter, she's lactose intolerant.
I believe so.
I don't have all of Millie's handles top of mind.
Follow her in Canada and get her back here.
Yeah. But if you type Millie Tamara's into the search bar of the various websites, you're going to find her pages. Yeah,
you're going to find photos of the most beautiful woman alive.
Yeah, exactly. Katie's trying to get Millie to. Yeah. Katie's the like, smartest, I will hottest. Get it. No, guys, Millie likes Katie a lot. Yeah. They're also really good friends. Okay, that's it. Until next time, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey, I'm Wayne Brady.
And I'm Jonathan Mangum.
And we're two big improv nerds who get a chance to play and make stuff up on shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Or Let's Make a Deal.
And we're now hosting a new improvised show called What If? On the HeadGum Podcast Network.
And on What If? We believe that improvisation is a conversation. So we get to have conversations with guests from the worlds of TV, film, tech, and literature. Guests like Bobby Moynihan, Aisha Tyler, LeVar Burton, and Adam Conover. We ask them the big, ridiculous questions like, what if you heard a monkey's feelings?
What if your grandma was a secret agent?
What if Jonathan was invited to the cookout?
I'm not.
And then we turn the conversation into spontaneous scenes, songs, well, because that's what we do.
Subscribe to What If on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and watch episodes on YouTube.
No script, no net, just What If.